So today we're talking about spiritual growth. You have your notes in your bulletin, so go ahead and grab those and follow along. I would really like it if you guys, when you go home from here, that you would study those notes. This makes my job seem a little bit insignificant, so I'm going to put a little something on you right now. I hate to say this, but you realize that you forget 95% of the sermon within 72 hours? Boy, that makes the pastor feel real significant, doesn't it? So I'm going to encourage you with that. One of the ways that you can remove that and change that, and one thing that you'll see me, you'll never see me at a meeting or anything ever in my life without a notebook in my hand, because the Bible commands me whatever I receive to pass on. So if you don't want to forget it in 72 hours, I'm encouraging you to have a notebook in your hand so you can learn as I continue to preach. I better find my water, amen. So we're talking about spiritual growth today. First verse in your notes, I believe, is 1 Peter 2:2. It says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. So we want to grow spiritually. A baby, if he doesn't grow physically, there's something wrong. Amen. If we don't grow emotionally, there's something wrong. So we want to grow. The Bible commands us to grow. And it actually tells us how to grow. One of the main things that we'll look at today, it says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So the word brings spiritual growth in your life. Guys, please don't hold this against me, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about the soft part of Andy that you might not always see. But this was many years ago, so we've had our dog for 10 years, and it was a couple years before that. But mother cat had several kittens, but it dropped off this little kitten at our back steps. And so we brought it in, and, you know, me being the compassionate, kind guy I am, started with a little bottle feeder and, you know, was bottle feeding it and having it sit in my lap and all this different things. I didn't do the other part that Deb did when you got to help kittens go to the bathroom. You guys know that whole story. Don't sign me up for that part. All right. But anyway, so I was bottle feeding this little kitten for quite a while. And we knew where the mom lived, or we found out where the mom was, and the mom had, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 other kittens. And so we brought this kitten back to the mom, thinking that it would reunite with it, but the mom would have nothing to do with it. I don't have no idea why certain animals will do that in nature, but this mom would not feed or take care of this little kitten. So we had compassion, and Andy was back with the bottle feeder taking care of the little kitten. So we had this kitten for quite a while, and, you know, kittens grow up, and, you know, we had milk in a little cereal bowl, and so it grew up and started drinking the milk on its own. So for whatever reason, me being a little goofy that I am, I continue to bottle feed this thing in my lap just because I like this little kitten in my lap, and, you know, it enjoyed this. And my wife began to tease me and razz me, said, you know, the kitten has been drinking from the bowl, or the milk bowl, for quite a while. You can stop doing what you're doing. Okay, well, I did eventually stop. That wouldn't have been good, you know, if you got about a 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever pound cat. It was a tomcat, so it got fairly big. But if, you know, after 6 years old, I still throw that thing in my lap and I got a little thing, that there would be something possibly wrong with that. Amen. Okay, but same thing, if we accepted Christ, I did, what, 12 years old, so what, I'm going to be 58, whatever that is, 40, what is that? Help me out. 46 years ago? All right, help me with my math. I'm a little slow when I'm up in front of you and maybe a little bit nervous. But, you know, we want to grow. It's not normal for if there's something doesn't grow. You know, all living things are supposed to grow. And so I'm challenging you today, because what does it also say in Peter? That you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we'll look at a lot of verses. Even Jesus was a great example for us. Jesus, the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, it said that he grew in wisdom, knowledge, favor, stature. Stature would be character. Even though he's sinless, he still grew in these things in the eyes of God and man. So if Jesus is our example, and then Paul says what? Follow me as I follow Christ. So Paul was growing. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to go through about 4 different passages of Scripture today. These are just 3 verses here in Philippians 3. Paul talking about his journey. If you're really good in studying when Philippians was written, you can hopefully figure out when about he wrote this. But anyway, as far as Paul describing himself in verse 12, he said, not that I've already obtained this. So this is the greatest man to ever walk the face of the earth. Am I on at all? Is it coming through? It is, all right? All right. I'm sorry, I'm a little soft in my voice today. You don't think so, do you? All right, I like to hear myself if you didn't know that. All right, I'm sorry. Not that I've already obtained this. So this is Paul a few years down the road, still pressing on for his spiritual growth and maturity. I've not obtained this, but I press on to take hold of that which is laid hold of me. I don't consider myself, in verse 13, yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, I forget what lies behind. We've had great experiences in life, amen? But we don't rely on that. You know, I'll get ahead of myself. One of the stories I was going to share is about this person that was going to go back to their class reunion after, like, I'm not sure what this story was. Let's say 20, 30, or 40 years, they're going to go to their class reunion. And so they were all excited to go back to the class reunion. And so, you know, I think if I got this story right, it doesn't matter whether I have a story right. I can make this up, can I? All right, so he flies out, whatever, to go to the class reunion, whatever. The wife drops him off, and he goes there. And he finds out, you know, thinking they're going to have all these stories about a new life and changed life and all these things. And he basically came back and was really disappointed. His wife, like, what is wrong? You were so excited about going to your graduation. He said, well, most of them haven't changed. Yeah, they got less hair, or it's a little bit more gray, or they got a little bit bigger belly. But basically, they had not changed. And he returned sad because they didn't leave whatever. And you don't have to leave the city where you're growing up. And I'm not saying that at all. But we should have new life, new experiences, and we should have change and growth in our life. All living things are supposed to grow. Amen. You know, I love Siren. I was there for 21 years. But my son is very happy. And most kids, because it's a small town and they don't offer good employment, most kids, you know, when they go on either with Votech or tech school or whatever, or college, they don't return to Siren because there's no industries there that are going to pay them a good living wage where they can raise a family. So, but if I went back there, and he probably won't listen to the sermon, but Luke's best man and Luke's best friend growing up, whatever, his grandma, grandpa, if you went down to the cafe, you guys, maybe, I don't know if they do this here in Wautoma, but those guys that played football, now they're 75 years old, those guys, they're grandpas now, whatever, but they're still telling the stories when they were seniors in high school and they played this football game and they beat so-and-so, whatever, that was just down the road, and they're still talking about that as if it happened yesterday. Now, you know, and I'm not against football at all, but that person hasn't been able to walk good for at least 10 years because of his football injuries. But he's still bragging about, you know, his senior year and he's 18 years old. Well, that guy is a great guy, so I'm not trying to put down that aspect of it. But I don't want to remain stuck in my senior year in high school where I'm still telling stories about my football game, amen? I want to have some new stories, amen? I want to grow. I want to be challenged. I want to be different. As much as my wife would tell you, I don't always like to change. Sometimes I just make a commitment to do things that are going to cause me to change. You know, do you think that was easy to go to Philippines? Do you think I like traveling 35 hours and sitting in a plane, one flight, just one leg of the flight for 14 hours? How do you think I do on that? All right? Now, back in the old days when I used to do that, I would know everybody on the plane because not everybody's watching a movie, looking at their phone, or looking at their computer. Back then, I'd get off and my wife and son would just shake their head at me like, you know, I'd greet everybody by first, not everybody because there's, 400 in the plane, but close to it because I would just talk, though, you know, whatever. Why am I sharing that one? I have no idea why. But, you know, as far as pressing to do things that will cause you to grow, cause you to change. You know what? Life is not easy. And Philippians, Paul was still pressing on. Verse 14, I press towards the goal to which is the prize, which is in Christ Jesus. All right? So Paul, and I think this was not in the beginning part of his Christian life, but he said, I've not yet obtained this. I'm still pressing on. Okay? I want to be growing. This guy was 95 years old. He was the world's greatest cellist. And he was still practicing for 6 hours a day. And so this guy asked him, you know, you're the best in the world. You're pretty good. I don't know. What's the reason? Why are you still practicing 6 hours a day? He said, well, the truth of the matter is I think I'm still making progress. You know what? Amen. We want to be pressing on. Amen. We have not yet attained. If Paul hadn't attained, we had not attained yet. Amen. We want to press on. Sometimes, actually, the truth of the matter is we need one another to press on. When I was single and I didn't get married till I was 30 years old, you know what? There was an opportunity to not be as mature or grown up because I didn't have to ask my wife permission. I'm sorry. That just slipped. She's gone today. Amen. If you know what's good for you, get permission, amen. She likes me to go hunting, so thank you, Jesus. God is good, amen. But we want to press on. We don't want to remain. Here's a story as far as, anyway, you got the point with that. When before you're married, before you have kids, before you have responsibility, it's a lot easier to be selfish, isn't it? You know, I didn't have to ask, whatever. I didn't have as much other considerations. All right, but we want to grow up, and we want to help other people to grow up. You know, one thing I'm really blessed by, I'm blessed by all of you, but when I see the grandparents in our church that have raised their kids, and their kids are now raising their kids, and I'm seeing this progression of what's taking place, it's just, I just look at it, and it's like, wow, that's what life is. Not only are you responsible, but you've helped your kids learn to be responsible, and now you're passing that on to your grandkids. That's God, amen? Because in order for you to grow, you actually have to help other people grow. That's the way God made us. He wanted us to make disciples. So turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. We're only going to look at three verses there. It's quick ones there, but if you want to turn your Bibles, that'd be great. So this is a story. I like to tell stories about my son or my family because this is where life hits the road. So we only had one kid, and if you have one kid, there's a possibility they might be a little bit spoiled. What do you think? Okay, and Deb was one of those parents. So anyway. Deb's not here. I could tell some more stories today. Let me just throw this is in for free. I just have ideas pop through my head. You know what? A lot of things in life I couldn't get, whatever, but I'd say, Luke, don't tell Deb. Well, she's already on to this game already. I'd say, Luke, you tell Mom what you want for Christmas because it's something actually I want, and I know I can't get it, but if you ask for it, I know we can get it. All right. I'm not sure why I shared that, but anyway, just I wanted to get that off my chest so you know how I am. So anyway, Luke went off to college. He's 18 years old, and he meets Caitlin. And they didn't date for the first 2 years. They went to church together. I told him, I said, if you want to do good in college, I said, Luke, we're really not that smart, okay? So here's what you do. You do what your dad did, all right? You find somebody that is really, really smart, and you study with them. And I said, if they're female and good-looking, that's just an extra bonus, amen? Okay, well, that's exactly what Luke did. I thought, whatever. He went, he met Caitlin. Caitlin was in nursing. Caitlin was studying like crazy to be a nurse. Luke was on his computer across from her playing computer games. But anyway, all right, he made it through college, did just fine. But as far as growth, and I think we did a good job, you know, with Luke in many different aspects. But Caitlin had, I think, more pull than both Deb and I combined. Okay, so when Luke is a senior, they're already making plans for marriage, all right? So after 2 years of being best friends and going to church together and going studying together and different things, they decided, well, this is crazy. Why don't we just go ahead and date? So they did. And about a year later, they get engaged. And so Caitlin is a go-getter, okay? She's a nurse at both Minneapolis Children's Hospital and St. Paul Children's Hospital. She does mostly at one place, but if another place has extra hours, she'll sometimes pick those up. But anyway, I don't think this would have been Luke's natural thing to do, but when they got engaged, she wanted to make sure that he already had a job lined up before they got married. So this is his summer year before his senior year. He's taking 12 credits. He's working full-time, all right? And she not only wanted him to take those 12 credits summer, but in the fall, while he was still finished his senior year of golf, whatever he was on the golf team there, he was taking 20 credits because she wanted him to graduate early so he could have a job that they would know where they're going to live when they got married, whatever, and all those different things. All right? And so Caitlin, and both Deb and I think we did an okay job raising our kid, but all of a sudden, this does not sound like Luke. Come on, you with me? Working 40 hours a week during his internship during the summer, taking 12 credits as well, and then in the fall during golf, you crazy? He did it, took 20 credits, whatever, so he could graduate early, and he started work, whatever, January 4th, just a few months before, they got married. So why do I share that story? Because you know what? We need one another to grow. You know, sometimes we get a little stagnant. Sometimes we think we're okay. But you know what? If you want a healthy life, you always got to be growing and you always got to be expanding. Are you with me? So Hebrews chapter 5, this is verse 12. For though the time you ought to be teachers. Okay? I want us as a church to go, and we have a great church, but I want us to go from the information mode and vision and dream to actually transformation mentality and vision within a church. What do I mean by that? You're acquiring knowledge right now, but that's not just what I want us to do. I want all of you to be teachers, and this is what this verse is saying here. Where we went and worked in the Philippines, that pastor my brother has worked with for 35 years in the Philippines. This year alone, that church, whatever, which they're a group of churches, whatever, he actually oversees 400 churches. But the island and the where we did this conference, this group alone this year has started 31 churches. Not 31 buildings. They don't even ever have big enough buildings to house everybody. But they do what Acts 20:20 says. They went from house to house, and they all have home churches. So basically, every adult, every member is basically really, really strongly encouraged that you're having home church in your home, and you're reaching all your neighbors, all your friends, and whether it's 5, 10, 15, 20, or 25, you're not just hearers of the Word of God, you're passing on. And that's how we grow. All right? You know, you grow by being a teacher. You learn, you know, I went over there to the Philippines to be a blessing to them. You know, they had 400 people at this conference. They come all, there's at least 30 to 40 pastors. We're training them. The education that they have is not what we've been exposed to here in America. But you know what? Sometimes they just hear it and they just do it. Amen? And so me going over to be a blessing, actually I was more blessed to see what they're doing. When at time we ought to be teachers, it says here, we need somebody to teach us the elementary stuff. We're still on milk, okay? You remember the story of me wanting to bottle feed, whatever, the kitten, you know? Now that we got a dog, the dog eats better than I do. You know, in the morning, Deb's got, you know, gone for a couple days. I got to get the steak out, put it in the microwave, and the dog has steak for breakfast and supper. I'm like, hello, how come this dog is eating better than I am? I don't know, just a lot of stuff going through my brain again. I'm sorry, I'm getting all of it out. I'm going to be healed, amen? So verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, okay? This dog doesn't eat dog food. It has to have solid food and it wants steak, okay? I'm sorry. We're crazy, aren't we? But solid food is for the mature who have their powers and discernment trained, so by constant practice. How do you grow? You actually put to work what you're doing, amen? Hallelujah. Jasmine, I'd like to use you in stories here. You want to come up here for a second? Come on right up. You just got to make sure you're paying attention here. Come on up here. I like to make her, when she's here, help me with my stories. All right. So in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, it says to meditate in his word, okay? And so I'm probably not even going to remember all the different things here, but as far as us growing, it says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So this is the word of God. Usually I preach it if I grab the computer, but this is the Bible. This is the word of God. And it tells us to meditate in his word day and night. So the word meditate has a lot of different meanings. It means you're supposed to read it. All right. You're supposed to hear it. You're supposed to see it. I'm probably going to forget a couple. You're supposed to apply it and speak it. There's one other one I'm forgetting already, but just grab this with your thumb and your finger and hold it up. Just hold it, just not the rest of the fingers, just one finger and your thumb there, and just hold it up, okay? So all right, you're having a little trouble, aren't you? Okay, so now, since this is the Bible, I'm not going to hit it out of her hand. I could pretty easily hit it out of her hand. But now, put two fingers on it. So not only are you going to hear it and see it, but you're going to read it. Now you got a little bit better grip. Do you think if I could hit it, I could still hit it out, couldn't I? Okay. But now, whatever one it is, add whatever part I was supposed to say. All right. And then the fifth one is applying it. So now that you can turn it over whatever way. Now that you have read it, seen it, spoke it, heard it, and you're applying it, it's a lot easier for you to hold on to it. You got all four fingers in your thumb. Amen. All right? So whatever, it's a better grip, right? Thank you. Let's give her a hand for coming up. The problem is, in our spiritual journey, if you come here on a Sunday morning and you hear it, but don't learn to how to, it's going to apply to your practical life, then you're not going to be strong. I could have very, very easily hidden that Bible out of Jasmine's hand if it was just, you know, hearing it or maybe reading it. But once, if she got all the way through the stages and was applying it, you got a pretty good grip when you got all your hand and your palm on it, amen? And the God wants us to do the same thing with our life. He wants us to grow. He wants to not only hear it, read it, see it, but he wants us to apply it. And there's where the rubber meets the road. There's where our life is going to be changed. Let's skip, you probably didn't even know you were going to turn there. Let's go all the way to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to read quite a few verses, so it's all going to be up there if you don't. I still really want you to bring your Bibles or your tablets or whatever you use, because I'd like you to see it yourself. All right? So thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. So let's go ahead and read through these verses. He gave the fivefold ministry to the church. The pastor and the teacher is a part of that fivefold ministry. And what is the purpose of that? It's not for me just to teach and preach. It's to equip you, all right? I'm never going to have a problem finding ministry to do because there's a lot of ministry to do, amen? So you don't have to worry about that. But my main job as a pastor is not just to do the ministry. It's to train you to do the ministry. It's to equip you, amen? So I want that was one of our goals as a church when we talked about those goals, every member, every person, a minister. Amen? All right, so my job is to equip you. One of the signs of maturity is that we'll have unity. I'll read that list on page 2 in your notes. It's probably not page 2 on yours, but one of the signs of maturity is that you'll have good relationships and you'll walk in unity. The last part of verse 3, we go on to maturity. All right? Luke went from when he was a child, all right, he could breathe on his own when he was born, and then he got baby food, and then we fed him a little bit better food, and then he could feed himself, and so he went from dependency to independence. And now what I want to teach Luke at this stage of his life, that he learns interdependence, especially in as far as his Christianity, amen? So the same thing with you. When you were a babe spiritually, you're probably dependent upon other people to help you in your spiritual journey. Hopefully you grew in your spiritual journey and you learned that you could eat the word of God yourself and apply the word of God. But then God also wants you to be able to train other people. He wants you to grow in your faith. He wants you to pass it on. That's one of the main ways we grow spiritually. So in verse 13, it talks about maturity, walking in the fullness of Christ. We should look like Jesus. Amen. Verse 14, one of the signs of maturity, you'll not be easily tossed. All right? So many Christians, whatever, that are not serving today, that once served God, is because they got offended or they got something hurt or something happened. And if you're going to be a strong, mature Christian, you can't get offended. Psalm 119 says, great peace have they which love the word of God, and nothing will offend them. I've already made up my mind for the rest of my life. I might hold on to it for a half a day, but I'm choosing, no matter what, to never hold on to offense. I'm not going to be easily tossed. Having put my hands to the plow, I'm not going to look back. My heart is already fixed. My heart is established. God is worthy of everything I have for the rest of my life because of what he did for me, amen. In Habakkuk chapter 3, in verse 19, it says, our feet are like hinds' feet. So a sign of maturity is whatever that you can handle difficult terrain. All right, let me give you a little warning. If you think it's bad in America now, whatever, it's going to get worse. The end times, it's going to get worse. I want you not to be tossed. I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to throw in the towel or give up. I want you to be strong. In 1 John chapter 2, and we'll come back to Ephesians in a second, but it says, I write to you young men, and here's the characteristics of maturity. I write to you young men because you're strong. Okay? I'm not weak, amen? I write to you young men because you're strong. How do you get strong? The word of God abides in you. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have Wednesday night. That's why we preach. That's why whatever, I want you to do your devotions every day, because the word of God helps you to have strength. Not just hearing it, reading it, and seeing it, but then applying it. That's where really the rubber meets the road, amen? We're going to go on. 1 John, I write to you, young men, you're strong. The word of God abides in you. What's the evidence that you're mature also? You've overcome the evil one. Jenny was talking a little bit. The enemy is going to come against you every single week of your life. You got stuff and mountains and trials and demons and devils that hate you and are trying to destroy your walk with the Lord. You've made up your mind that you're going to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The word of God is going to abide in you and you're going to overcome the evil one. Let's continue on with Ephesians 4 here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No longer tossed. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love. Can you handle the truth? There's quotes out of different movies that I just stick with me forever. Do you guys remember A Few Good Men? Do you remember what Jack Nicholson said? This quote sticks with me forever. It's a good quote, even in the Christian life. He said, what did he say? He said it loud. You can't handle the truth. Guess what? We at Crossroads, we can handle the truth. Amen? We're not snowflakes here at Crossroads. Amen? We're not, I'm sorry for saying that, but we're not looking for the next thing to get offended about. Amen? We've already made up our mind. We're not going to get offended. We're not looking to be offended. Our heart is fixed. It's trust in the Lord. Amen? So we're not going to be easily tossed. We're going to be strong. We're going to overcome the enemy. We're going to be able to speak the truth. That's one of the signs of maturity is how you handle truth, whether you're open to truth. So many people in our world, I'd say it's about half of America, is you can't even sit down and have a conversation about truth. If you start talking about truth and what are they going to do immediately? They're going to start calling you names. Okay, they're going to revert immediately to sarcasm and ridicule and all those different things. That's a sign of immaturity. You can't grow up when you can't have adult conversations. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, it says, be adults in your thinking. That means that you can have your thinking challenged. Thank God for our schools, but we're missing it a little bit in our approach. It's not that you teach them what they need to know. The truth of the matter is, and this is for me as a pastor, you need to teach people how to think. You need to teach people to think critically, amen? So they can learn knowledge, but then they can learn how to apply it, amen? It's not just teaching people what they ought to know. Even with your Christianity, you know, you got me preaching the Word of God, and guess what? You're never going to be misled or deceived by this pastor, all right? But one of the ways that that's going to happen is because I know you know the Bible so well that you wouldn't let that happen here, amen? So, verse 15, you speak the truth, and we need to speak the truth. People say, well, when we get together, and you need to have the wisdom of God, but we don't talk about religion or politics. Well, I'm sorry to say, but those are the two most important things that you probably should talk about, amen? Now, I know when to shut up. I know which relatives, whatever, are so liberal, whatever, that they're not open to discussion. I got enough EQ to realize that it's time to shut up and zip it, Andy, and not ruin Christmas for other people, amen? Are you with me? But at the same time, the two most important things we need to talk about are God and our country. And so one of the signs of maturity and growth is that we can have these conversations in a civil, kind way. I'm going to quote Ellen DeGeneres forever now on that little thing that she did was just sitting with the president. We can be kind to people that we totally disagree with, amen? That's a sign of maturity. You measure maturity by your relationships. And if you can't get along with somebody that thinks the exact opposite of you, then there's probably something wrong with you. We can learn to get along and be, the Bible commands you no matter what to be kind to everybody. Didn't say just you, those that agree with you. It said to be kind and pray for your enemies. That's a sign of maturity, amen? You got to go to work and you got to work with people that think the exact opposite of you sometimes, don't you? But God commands you to be able to work there and you got to be able to get along with people. That's part of life, amen? That's one of the signs of maturity. Speak the truth in love, and if you're able to speak the truth, and then it says you'll grow up in all aspects to be like him. In verse 16, let's read that last verse of this. This is amazing. From whom the whole body, that's you, we're joined and held together by what? By every joint. Jenny did a great job this morning. We're going to transition as a church more into that, where when we come together, it's not the pastor or the music team that's doing the ministry. It's every one of us that comes ready to pray for other people because everybody needs prayer every single Sunday morning. When we come together, every one of us can have a psalm, a tongue, a teaching, a revelation. Paul said, I would that you would all prophesy. basically, in my understanding of Scripture, what Toby did today was a word of exhortation, a word of encouragement. That can be in a line, a form of prophecy, of just sharing a word, a Scripture for us that would be encouraging for us under the blessing and anointing of the Lord. Paul said, I would that you would all prophesy, amen. Actually, if you want to know, he said, I would that you would all speak in tongues as well, amen. And he said, this is just free. This is not even in my notes. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. He also, we've studied this last Wednesday, so it's all fresh in my mind. But he said, also, don't forbid to speak in tongues. Okay, we're a part of a Pentecostal church here, amen? What we were doing today is actually taking time to wait upon God and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that sweet? Did you notice just how everybody, or most people, whatever, was just really soaking up and just enjoying the sweet presence of the Lord? And the blessing of you receiving the presence of the Lord is just not so you can get a goosebump. The point of that is so that you can get healed, and then you can bring that ministry into other people's lives. By that which every joint supplies, as we all do our part, and every one of us has a ministry, and every one of us has a part, as we do that, that's when the body becomes complete and in whole, entire, lacking nothing. Amen? It builds itself up. Amen? Should I take a breath? A couple more things and we'll close. All right, I'm going to share about sequoias. This is about tying in verse 16. That which every joint supplies. All right, so they went, and what did they put in here probably, Steve? Was that French drains that they probably put in? Most likely with those whatever. It was quite interesting to watch what they could do. I'm sorry, I'm a lot of sidetrack today, but to watch that guy with that big front-end loader or whatever that's called, whatever, can get within like 6 inches of the gas line, I would think you don't want to quite get that close to the gas line. But this guy was so good, whatever. They were telling him how far he had, but to be able to dig that way. Anyway, I'm sorry for sharing stuff that you don't. I thought that was quite fascinating, amen? All right, so every joint does its part. I want you to all to realize that you all have a ministry, and I want us to grow in that as a church. All right? So, all right, point back. I did have a point with that one. All right? They cut down an oak tree, and they had to deal with some of our roots, but I said, all right, are all these oak trees over here, are they going to live? Because I saw how close you, what you had to do. He said, yeah, I think the roots on all these are going to be fine, and all these oak trees are going to live. All right? Don't tell Liz this, but he said, one of the pine trees, whatever, we had to be closer to that, and there's a possibility that in one of the storms that one of those pine trees might not make it. All right? So don't tell Liz that. Maybe I'll probably let it slide sometime. All right. But why did I share that? The sequoia. Have you guys ever been to California? How tall are the sequoia trees? Give them a guess. How tall are some of them? 100 feet? Hundreds. 200, 300, or 4. They can be huge, amen? Does anybody know how deep the roots of the sequoia trees go? Not very deep. Give me a guess here. All right, only grow. All right, anywhere from 6 to 20 feet deep the roots go. So that's longer or deeper than I thought. All right. Those roots spread out though. What makes the sequoia tree stronger? The roots interlocked and the one next to it. Do you know how you can grow spiritually? How you can be strong spiritually? You can be like the sequoia. Okay? Your roots are going down deep in Jesus, but what you do, you intertwine your roots, your relationship with God, with other people's relationship with God. When we get together, we stir one another on towards love and good deeds. Hey, everyone, when we come together, we probably all need some encouragement. Amen? Amen? So let's be like the sequoia tree. And how do we be like the sequoia tree? We grow better together. Did you know that? Okay, once again, with me being single, I was a pastor, but it's easier to grow together in relationship. One of the signs of immaturity is isolation. One of the signs of maturity is that you're willing to have relationships and you're willing to work through even difference of opinion and differences. Let's learn from the sequoia tree, amen? Look at the notes, and we're going to go through this really quickly, and I'll close, amen? Signs of immaturity, you can read this on your own. You're not open to correction. You're selfish. You don't use your spiritual gifts. You don't walk in your spiritual disciplines. You get offended easily. You're not a part of the community, and you're not making disciples. We don't want to be like that, amen? Signs of maturity. It's right in your notes right below that. Signs of maturity is harmonious relationships, Christ-likeness, not easily tossed. We have fruit. Colossians 1 verse 10, Paul said, I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work. We should all be making disciples. I get excited on Wednesday night, and it's not just because I get to play games with the kids. You can tell I really, really enjoy playing games with the kids. But what I get excited about is I ask Deb probably every Sunday that I see her afterwards, I said, what has taken place with like 16 kids in her class? I think my wife had 9 kids in her class, and we're seeing we're growing. If you want to grow, we better grow better together. But if you want to grow and be mature, you're going to be making disciples. Whatever you've received, you're going to pass on to others. And it's really cool, then they're going to pass it on to others. Okay, I spent 9 years in Clear Lake, Wisconsin, so that was a lot of years ago. That was like 33 years ago when I first started there. They, yesterday, won the state tournament in volleyball. So little kids that were in my youth group when I went there 34 years ago, they now have kids that played, I think, that were on the volleyball team, and they won state tournament, and that means I might be getting a little bit older, amen? When I think of those, and I even, one of those ladies, whatever, she's, I think, 47 years old now, and I go to camp, and I was serving at camp up north, and she's a counselor, and I'm still thinking of her. You know how it is? You still think of them like they're still in youth group. They're not supposed to be 47 years old and have kids in their youth group. And you understand what I'm saying? But sign of maturity is that you're going to pass this on, and what I see Wednesday night is exciting. We can grow together. And I see it with your families of how you pass it on to your kids and your grandkids. And, you know, I get to be blessed. I get to be a part of that. And you allow me to be a part of that. That's pretty cool. We're going to grow together. We're going to join our roots together. Let them go as deep as they can. But let every joint supplying its joint, its part, that the body can be complete. So we're going to have fruit in our life. We're going to grow up and we're going to become strong. Amen. Point number 6 there is the last one, and we're not even going to get to the last page of the notes. But we're going to accept responsibility, we're going to accept work, marriage, family, ministry, and be a participant in ministry, and we're going to use our gifts to serve one another, amen? You could use this illustration for sequoia trees, you can use it for sharks, you can use it for the Japanese koi. If you take a shark and you put it and confine it within just a small aquarium, there's a possibility that that shark will only grow to a certain extent because its growth is going to be limited by its surroundings, okay? The same is true with a sequoia tree. If you took that and you put a cement block where the roots can only go 2 feet deep and they could only go about 3 feet wide, that sequoia tree is not going to grow to the same height that it could if its roots were able to grow naturally, okay? We want to take all of the blocks off. We want to take the boundaries off. We want to take the limbs off. We can grow to the fullness of Christ. That's what we read about in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for amazing worship. Thank you, Lord, of how people responded during the prayer time just to commune with you and experience you. And Father, I pray today, Lord, that we would be partakers of the Word of God. Lord, that we would not just hear it, but we would make a commitment this morning. Right now, we make a commitment to grow spiritually. I'm going to pray an illustration that I forgot to share. But Father, there's just picture. You're at school and you see a bulletin board and you have 6 different mirrors with 6 different colors. And this mirror is facing back at you and it shows you what you're responsible for. You're responsible for your choices, your grades, your work, your future, your life. All kinds of different things. It's just basically a picture of a kid looking at a mirror. And your spiritual growth is a little bit my responsibility, but your spiritual growth is your responsibility. So, Father, I pray that we would take spiritual growth serious, Lord. And, Father, we would not just hear the word today, but we would commit to grow up into you, Lord. We'd be like Paul, that we'd forget what lies behind and we'd press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul, we don't want to be like Paul in Romans 7. We said, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I'm supposed to do. Paul wrote that in Romans 7, but Romans 6 and Romans 8, he got the victory over that stuff. And Lord, I pray that we would do the same, that we would commit to spiritual growth and development to become all that you created us to be. And all God's people said, amen.